Hallelujah.
Mother of Peter, thank Sister Barbara Simpson did a good job, such an awesome job moderating. Thank you all for participating, reading the scripture, giving the welcome. And we just want to bless the youth corner this morning. Wow.
Hallelujah.
Awesome presentation from the youth corner.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Bless the Lord.
I just want to greet the pastors this morning, our senior pastor, Pastor Daniel Henry, and our associate pastor, Pastor Eric Fiani. Bless the name of the Lord. And I want to give thanks that these pastors have allowed us, women of our company, to speak, to share on this platform. It is indeed a privilege and a honor.
Amen.
We need the women among our company have been praying for several years, praying for the success of the ministry, praying for expansion and growth, praying for the next generation to prepare for the mantle. Praying for other network ministries, offering supplication for government administration worldwide and every other request for healing, forgiveness, and deliverance. As a matter of fact, observing 1 Timothy 2, 1 to 4. And I'd like to stop to remind you what 1 Timothy 2:1-4 said. I exhort therefore that, first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men.
Amen.
For kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. And why do we pray that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty? It is because it is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior.
Amen.
That's why we pray like this. This morning, the title will be A Call for the Weeping, Wailing, and Mourning Women. Let me repeat again. A Call for the Weeping, Wailing, and Mourning Women. I just want to share how this topic came to me, or the instructions came to me from the Lord. Driving to work one morning, the Lord redirected my attention and impressed upon me, there is a need for us to cultivate a Hannah spirit, because we need to birth some more Samuels in this present world.
Yes.
So Hannah, in my opinion, was an example of a weeping, mourning woman.
Yeah.
Let me repeat that. Hannah, in my opinion, was an example of a weeping, mourning woman. And when the Lord said that to me, he said another word, one word, collaboration. Collaboration, and this is the reason I am sharing now on this platform. I did not get a message for the woman who stays up from 11 to 12 or after. the nightly prayers that we pray, the Lord said, collaboration. I thought to myself that we have already appointed someone to speak for April. So I'm thinking that I would prepare this word to share in July. The Lord came back and said to me, it is expedient, it must be shared now.
Amen.
So I took the topic based on what the Lord is saying, weeping, wailing, mourning, from Jeremiah. Because Jeremiah had called for the weeping, wailing, mourning woman at a time where there was so much adversity present. The scripture that was read in Jeremiah 9 speaks to that, the prophetic word that he got from the Lord concerning what was happening and how the Lord was upset, the Lord was wroth against it. So that was why I choose my topic, a call for the weeping, wailing woman. But I just like to go back to 1 Samuel chapter 1, 2, and 3 and share why I chose Hannah as an example of a weeping, mourning woman. Because Hannah experienced adversity like none other concerning her womanhood. Right back there. She was married to Mr. Elkanah. I'm going to call him Mr. Elkanah, who had another wife, Penina. And the Penina spirit is an adversarial spirit. And that spirit did not let up on Hannah, who had not yet born a child for Mr. Elkanah. But Penina had born so many children already. And Penina's spirit did not waste any time or any opportunity not to humiliate Hannah, to mock and jeer her until she was sore, weeping. She was, her eyes were wet with tears, especially on that special time of year when they went up to the temple to offer up the sacrifices of feast and praise. Her husband tried so hard to comfort her, which would not be the result or the help Hannah needed. Hannah was yearning, and Hannah knew there was something in her womb that would not be satisfied until God blessed her with that prayer for a son. So the adversarial experiences that she continued to have was what propelled her to continue weeping, mourning, and seeking the face of the Lord. Until on that special year when they went again to present their sacrifices and their offerings in the temple. And even the priest thought that this woman is drunk, because he did not hear the words coming from her mouth while she was in the deepest mourning. The deepest mourning. Only God himself knew what she was mourning and weeping about. And when the priest Eli approached her and accused her of being drunk, no, she was not drunk. She expressed, I'm a woman weeping from the deepest hurt and desire in my heart to get rid of this adversity of my life and to bring forth what my womb is yearning for. And he got the message. He got the message and he blessed both of them, Mr. Elkanah and Mrs. Hannah, and thus it Samuel came forth.
Yes.
So what I am saying now, ladies, is that right here on earth, presently today, there is so much adversity that's going on around us.
Yes.
We ourselves are experiencing adversity like none other. I'm going to say, yes, we, the women of our company, we pray Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and if there is an emergency, we stop everything and we get on the platform, we come in agreement. We have been doing this for years. So many years, even before the war started between Russia and Ukraine. But still, war is still going on. Adversity like none other. No wonder the Lord wants us now, ladies, to take it to another level.
Yes.
He's calling for us, weeping. Let me tell you, don't be asking yourself right now, women, are we in that category? Weeping, wailing, mourning. We have prayed so many times and from hear the weeping and the mourning from others praying on the platform, wailing, wet eyes. Sometimes we can't even finish the prayer because it is so embedded deep within us how we are experiencing. Ladies, we have to feel this adversity and what's going on in the world, especially with our young people, especially with our young people. This adversity that is now among us is propelling us to continue to the next level. I'm speaking in a general sense, ladies, because you are involved in this collaboration.
Yes.
God will direct us and tell us how this collaboration is going to work.
Amen.
And I would like to share a little bit more about this adversity concerning our young people. I, from time to time, and even in the past couple of months, get information concerning what's going on with young people so much that my heart, tears run down my eyes, my heart aches when I hear about, for example, a young man who drank himself and smoked himself. His liver was damaged. His heart was compromised. He drank that night so much that he did not wake up the next morning. A young man who had so much potential.
Yeah.
You hear the news about a young woman who climbed the ladder of success. She was the manager or CEO of a firm doing so well. Whatever was in her life that she could not share, that she had to jump from the ninth floor of a building, and she was no more. What are we not accountable, women of our company? Are we not accountable?
Yes.
How we take care of the next generation, how we share, how we encourage, how we mentor, so that they will be free and open to come and share with us. the challenges that suffocating them. They're afraid to talk about their fears. They're afraid to share the challenges with mental, emotional, spiritual, physical health, and financial problems. How are we encouraging the young people, the next generation, to prepare to take on the mantle, to step up to the plate, to be the next evangelist, to be the next apostle, to be the next prophet, to be the next teacher, to be who God intended them to be in the kingdom? God says, the Lord says, collaboration, collaboration. So let's think about, you know, there are so many other examples I could talk about concerning how these young people are getting so many mixed messages. When you think about what's going on from the administration, those who are in governmental offices, not only here in this country, all over the world, when you think about, is there an example that is set? It's mixed up, deviant behavior. All of the different situations and circumstances, young people are being kidnapped, abducted, and put into some insatiable, deviant conditions in their life. They fear their lives when they are being placed into these situations. They are told, come and we will give you jobs. They end up in Brussels. They end up being jet away to private islands. They end up in some situations that they can't breathe. They can't even say, come help me, I need help. When you think about what's going on in workplaces, we Christians are being oppressed to share the word of God. We have to be careful how we speak about Jesus in our job. We need to continue to look to God. We need to come together more, ladies. We need to find a way how to share this with others as the Lord is speaking to us. So to cultivate the Hannah spirit, we need to shift and conscientiously remain in that posture so that some Samuel can be birthed in this earth. I'm talking about the next generation. The next generation. Yes. We need to shift from our mundane operations and get into this posture, stay in this posture. Yes, we need some more Samuel to be birthed all around universal in this world.
Amen.
We need to take back what the conquer. The locusts and the palmer worms have stolen from us. We need to deliver our young women and men from hidden rooms, underground secret prisons, the Madame's Brussels, the private islands, the penthouses, and all the other dark places that we don't even know about they are held captive in.
Yes,
ladies, we need to get into the posture of the cunning women, the weeping and mourning women, to cancel the spirit of death, destruction, and darkness on this land.
Amen.
We don't want any more blood to be on our hands, ladies. Whether we believe it or not, we are all accountable. We will weep. We will wail. We will mourn and remain in a posture of prayer until things change. The continues to rob society of the next generation, abortion, the same sex, the suicidal ideation.
Mm.
And when I think about the next generation, you know, way back there when Pharaoh said that there was going to be a change, and he proclaimed that all the male children must be killed and be thrown, or be thrown into the river, when he found out that the midwives was not hearing or doing what he required. That is a form of aborting the next generation.
Yes.
That was a form of aborting the next generation, just like what's happening here now. The same sex marriage does not produce.
Yes.
Abortion kills the next generation.
Yes.
So ladies, we have to look into these deviations in society. And our prayers in collaboration, deep in mourning, well, it is going to change. I know right now there are praying groups that are praying toward this end. So what God is saying to us now is not strange. We are going to get involved and be a part of this weeping, wailing women in collaboration. 24/7, 365, even if we are not on the platform, our posture is going to remain in this situation. So let me talk a little bit about the cunning women. The cunning women are wise, and they know how to set up and to organize strategic prayer. We, the cunning women, and yes, I am. I am going to put myself in it, right? We are going to know how to fast. We are going to know what to fast for. We are going to know how to pray and feel deep within. We are touched by the feeling of what this adversarial spirit is doing on earth here.
Yes.
We are going to pray against the suicidal spirit. We are going to pray against the same-sex abortion and all the other deviations, deviated spirits. Sometimes I'm saying the words that does not sound right from the vocabulary. Ladies, I am calling upon you, the weeping, wailing, mourning woman. We must feel the burden. I know some of you already are feeling the burden. So what more does the women who are cunning do? They are quick and alert to see something, say something.
Mm.
Their hearts are open to hear from the Lord and understand how to discern. Very important. Again, they are wise, quick, and alert, and something, say something, say something. Their hearts are open to hear from the Lord and understand how to discern.
Yes.
The weeping woman, how do they operate? They feel the burden and they weep.
Mm-hmm.
When Hannah was being treated in a shameful, mocking, jeering way by Penina, she wept and her eyes would not be dried when her husband tried to shower down gifts upon her and comfort her. She would not be comforted. She was weeping, until the Lord gave her the breakthrough. And that Samuel was birthed. So,
amen.
Ladies, we need to get in that posture to weep and let the tears flow from our eyes.
Yes.
What does the mourning woman do? They also feel the burden deep within their womb, and they are pregnant with this Hannah spirit waiting to deliver some Samuel to change the course of the world. So when Jeremiah prophesied and shared what God had intended to do because of what was going on at that time in Judah, Jerusalem, there were others who are opposing to what he was being prophesied and saying. You know, there are sometimes some of us don't understand how God uses other vessels, and we attack that person. We talk about that person in a carnal way, malicious way. But I was being trained many, many years ago. If you do not understand how God is using another vessel, pray for that person and allow the Lord to share with you how to proceed. God chooses to speak to us and use us in different ways. You know, when we get into the posture of weeping, wailing, mourning, we are going to call unto God, all unto him, so he will show us what we need to do, great and mighty things. I think that's Jeremiah 30 and verse 3, great and mighty things that we have never heard about, that we have never known, we have never seen. Remember, God is the one who sees, knows, and hears what we don't know, what we don't hear, what we don't see.
Yes.
Infinite one, omnipotent, omniscient one. That's who God is. And he's the one that's going to teach us and show us what posture we're going to get in with strategic planning, wise, quick, and alert to see something, say something, hear from the Lord, and understand how to discern. I am going to speak it into the atmosphere right now, ladies. I'm going to say, we must not be afraid. We must not fear, because we are covered on every side by angels you don't see and know. On every one of us, the door frame of our lives is the blood of Jesus Christ. Protecting us, going out, coming in, lying down, rising up. That's what Psalm 121 says. He will preserve us. He will preserve our souls.
Yes, sir.
So, ladies, let's prepare to get into that posture and remain until God births some Samuels out here in the world. And we're going to come in agreement, and we're going to join with those who we don't know praying, hear praying. I know that when we pray between 11 p.m. and 12 a.m. and beyond, there are other prayer groups praying, because God hears not only our prayers, but prayers from every area of this world, every hemisphere of this world, the east, the west, the north, and the south. Lady, I speak it into the atmosphere right now. Prepare yourself. Do not be afraid, because we are covered on every side. Let us get ready. Let us get into the praying, the mourning, the weeping, and the wailing, as the Lord calls us. As a matter of fact, ladies, I'm going to describe it also as a clarion call. And that's what I have to share with you this morning in Jesus' name. Father God,
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Your presence, your anointing. I want to thank you, Holy Father, for those who are listening this morning. And you know whom you have earmarked, Lord God, to get into the posture for the weeping, wailing, and mourning woman. Have your way, Holy Spirit. Have your way. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
That's good.